We're gonna read over. We got about a minute or so before we officially post start. Read over Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. How we waiting. When you finish reading through it, just raise your hand so I don't know when everybody's done. Somebody tell her what we're doing. I did that for a reason. I could have told you, but I did that for a reason. First person raising their hand, that's who I'm going with, because I ain't waiting till everybody finish. My mic on? Is it on? Yeah. All right, Matthew chapter 16. Father, we thank you for this evening. Open up this word so that we can see what your will is and see who you are and know you better. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16, we went over that last week. And I want to reiterate one of the major things, and you can open up your book to chapter 1. I most probably won't get off the first two pages, I'm just being honest. Because I realized something about the church. But one of the things we got to understand, one of the major things I want us to constantly get through our heads is that we really got to kill the tradition and religion on the inside of us when it comes down to church. We really got to, if you've been in church for any amount of time, the church as a whole, you just got into religious things. You got some stuff you done picked up on, some things that you thought was it, and then God is constantly revealing to you what it's really supposed to be. And so we've got to beat the religious mindset. The Bible says the traditions of men have made the word of God of none effect. That's powerful. It's a powerful statement. I mean, traditions have made it ineffective. Not that the word of God is ineffective, but it's ineffective to you when you got tradition in you, because tradition and the word don't mix. Like tradition and revelation doesn't mix. And so we've got to beat the fact of all the jargon and all the things we've learned about church, all the churchianity, all different stuff, and get back to the basics of what the church really is. The basis of what did Jesus say about the church? You see what I'm saying? Not what I learned in you take catechism with catechism. You took catechism. Not what I learned in preschool daycare, the Christian daycare. No. What did Jesus say about the church? All right. It's more than just coming together and clapping, more than coming together and shouting, more than coming and running around and getting happy and falling out, laying hands on each other and everything. And that's, praise the Lord for all that. But it's more than that, and it has a deeper meaning than that. And so we got to know what the church is in order to be the church. All right, remember, we are the church. Say it. We are the church. The church is not just a building that we go to. The church house becomes a special place when we all get there. But we are the church. You was at church before you got here. All right? You was able to have service. You remember service? Was able to have service before you got here to the building. So we got to uproot a lot of those things. And I know you like me, there's a lot of things I got to unlearn. I'm still unlearning. There's a lot of things about Christianity that I thought was the way for it to go. And then Jesus started showing me the real way. Because he says, I am the way, the truth. And so, you know, it's a constant revelation. It's always yet unfolding. We're always learning more and more. But I always want to know, God, what's your mind about the church? What's your plan for the church? Not my plan, not what makes me feel comfortable, not what I think is supposed to be right. God, what is your mind about the church? What was your original intention? And so throughout this whole thing, we're going to be breaking down a lot of that, a lot of the old foggy things that we got in our minds and the old foggy way of thinking that we do. In the book, and let's read from the first page, it says the church is not natural to this earth. And you skip a line. Well, I'll just read the first paragraph. It's God's habitation where he dwells, lives, and manifests himself without measure. Y'all see that? I see a line, without measure. It's God's habitation. That's what the church is. It's God's habitation where he dwells, lives, and manifests himself without measure. Now, if you don't understand that you are the church, then you think that's at the building. You'll think that's at the organization. No. It's talking about inside of you. It's God's technical operational base where he executes his kingdom dominion over the kingdoms of the world and his rule into every domain of the world system. Y'all see that? Read the next paragraph. It says, just these two essential elements of what the church should be moves the church from being natural to being, moves from being natural to being supernatural. God is all supernatural. There's nothing natural about him. Matter of fact, the supernatural is natural to God. Why? It's his nature. It's just who he is. It ain't super to God. It's his natural. That's who he is. All right. The next line says, God can change. Now, I highlighted it in my book. God can change his address. I like this. And start living, moving, and expressing himself on earth as he did when he had the physical body of Jesus. I want y'all to read that line. Y'all read it. Y'all looking at it? Read that line. Ready? Read. So it's saying that God can change his address and God can start operating anywhere he wants to, just like he did when he had the physical body of Jesus on the earth. All right, listen to what I'm saying. So he can do whatever. So the address to this ministry is 40066 Highway 22. Praise the Lord for that. We need to know that because people need to know how to get here. We need to know that for mail purposes. We need to know that to have on our records and all that stuff. But God will change his address. He's not just doing it at 40066 Highway 22. He's doing it at Rogers Avenue, right? And we won't call it that. You see what I'm saying? You say your name. You want to put a street, boulevard, however you feel about it. That's where he's doing the work at. You become his address. You become his operations. In that first paragraph, you are his operational base. Because you are the church, right? Not a building. You are the church, right? So because you're the church, God is working wherever you're at. Service is going on wherever you're at. Supernatural is going on wherever you are. Nah, the supernatural is not going to go on wherever you are if you don't understand that the supernatural should go on wherever you are. If you don't understand who you are, if you don't understand who you are as a church, if you don't understand that you are supposed to operate the supernatural, if you don't understand that the supernatural operates through you, if you don't understand that, then it won't happen. So every time that it doesn't happen, it's a bad understanding. Every time the supernatural is not going on in your life, you got bad thinking. Every time the supernatural is not taking place somewhere where you are, you got bad understanding, you got bad thinking, or you got a misunderstanding. Because the supernatural should be, he changed his address. He can start living, moving, and expressing himself on earth as he did when he had the physical body of Jesus. Now, Jesus wasn't the last physical body he got, yours too. All right, listen to me. And it says Colossians 1:19 and other scripture, Colossians 2 and 9, and John chapter 1, verse 16 and 8. But I want to make the point that he's operating where you are. You are his operational base. You are his place to function. You are, we are, we are, we are, you are. And so this is like Matthew chapter 16, and we read this a little bit last week, but Matthew chapter 16,
what?
And it said, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some said thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You hear that answer? Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not what? Revealed. Say revealed. Come on, say revealed. Come on, say it again, revealed. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So now who do men say that I am? They call his other name. He said, but Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood is not revealed. Everybody say revealed. Come on, say it again, revealed. What does it mean for something to be revealed? Come on, revealed. You get an understanding. It's uncovered. This is come and make it simple. Uncovered. It was hidden, now it's not hidden no more. Couldn't see it, now I can see it. All right. Didn't understand it, now I understand it. Couldn't hear it, now I can hear it. All right. It's revealed. It's opened up to me. All right. You listening? It's opened up to me. So now he said, flesh and blood is not revealed, but my Father has revealed this unto you. Then he said, in the next line it says, and I said to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. Now, a lot of people think he's talking about he's going to build his church upon Peter being the rock of the church. All right. I don't know. He's talking about on this rock. He's talking about the revelation that Peter got. All right. He's talking about the revelation. He said, thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. All right. I'm going to build my church on the revelation of who I am. Look at that. Look at it. Look at it. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So now my Father which is in heaven, God the Father, revealed who Jesus was to Peter. And of course, the rest of them, right? Then he says, upon this rock, upon this revelation, upon this great revealing, will I build my church. This is talking about the gates of hell not prevail. And what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. But it's upon this revelation of who Jesus is. You know, I'm prone to believe that when we talk about, when we're in the church and then when we talk about the church, we don't talk about Jesus enough. Hold on, listen to me. We talk about Jesus, you must be born again. We say that, right? Right? And we talk about the stories of Jesus and we talk about, but we really don't talk about him being the catalyst, or we really don't talk about him being the example of what the church should be doing. We're taking our ways or what we think the way it's supposed to go and trying to tell them that they need Jesus in their heart. No. We need to do it like Jesus did it. Upon this revelation, a revelation of Jesus is what the church is built upon. Are y'all understanding me? All right? It's not on your 10-point system in your new members class. All right? It's not upon all this other stuff. No, it is a revelation. Go over to, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to go over to chapter 4, and then we're going to touch on some other things. I may be skipping ahead of myself, but the reason I didn't tell you what chapter it was on, because I was expecting somebody else in here that's already doing it to tell you what we were doing, because that's what the church is supposed to do. See, when people come in, we're supposed to be activated to activate others. You ever played, this is a side journey, but we used to play this game called Freeze Tag. You ever play Freeze Tag before? And y'all play Freeze Tag, y'all might play Freeze Tag, all right? How Freeze Tag go? You know, when you were younger, play Freeze Tag, all right? It's almost like hide and go seek. Similar to that, or it, you know, you go run, just running, just tagging people, all right? Freeze Tag was like this. Whoever was it, whoever they touched, they frozen, so you got to stay there. Now, if you free, if you can get loose and run around, you can touch somebody that's frozen, and it'll unfreeze them. Then they'll be free to move around and free to go free other people, all right? Activating. That's one of the best. I never knew that. But it's one of the best ways to activate people. So now the enemy is running around freezing people in the church. He touch them, and he can't move. And you're frozen. You still look like the rest, but you're frozen. You can't move. And you're not going to be able to move until somebody that's already free helps activate you into freedom. All right? This is what we're supposed to be doing as a church. This is supposed to be the activating system. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but as the church, and then even when we come to the church house, it should be always the purpose should always be to activate another. The purpose for your ministry should always be to activate another, not to look like a great activator. Y'all with me? It always should be about another. When he's talking about being crucified with Christ, he's talking about for another. A lot of times we I don't want to go over here. We talk about being crucified with Christ, and we start saying, okay, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? That means I got to crucify my ways, right? Right? Well, now they're going back to being selfish again because you're talking about you. I'm going to crucify what I want to do. No, well, now you're talking about you again. No, when you're dying, you're really dying for another. It has nothing to do with you. When you die, when Jesus died, he died for another. It had nothing to do with him. Do y'all get that? That's what. So it's really built. And I got to go back because Jesus is an example. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Jesus is an example. You are built to activate another. I thought about this today. I started praying in tongues, calling. I'm praying in tongues for class tonight. I'm not praying in tongues for service. The Holy Spirit said, what you praying in tongues for? He said, you praying, how you, like what area are you praying for? Are you praying so that you'll be anointed? Or are you praying for them to be able to hear? Because it's very easy to get over there. It's very easy. Listen, come on, y'all. It's tricky, but it's very easy to be praying in the Spirit and say, Lord, Lord, you know, bless my tongue. And it's nothing. I get it. I understand. Lord, Lord, Lord. Because you can get to praying so that you don't fall flat on your face, so you don't look like you're messing up. It'll be slick. And it's not really a me prayer, but it's just it'll be slick. When in actuality, if you're praying for the people, then God is going to pull more out of you. If I come here, got to teach y'all class tonight, and I'm praying for y'all. So when I take my personal prayer time, be not deceived, God's not mocked, whatever man sow, that shall he also reap, right? All right, so if I'm praying for y'all, God will pull more out of me for you because it's for you. That's a prayer secret. Huh? That's a small, but it's a prayer secret. When you're going to minister to somebody, how you been praying for? Have your prayers been, Lord, help me to help somebody else, or Lord, help somebody else and he'll use you to do it? You see, you get it. It's slight, but it'll increase your ministry because what God'll do if I'm praying for you. That's what it's about. The gifting that God has put on for me is not for me. I may receive manifestations from it. They may look at me and call me doctor, whatever, and all that. And you may get the claps and all that stuff. And what that doesn't matter. It's not. I know that it's not for me. It's for another. If I don't use it for what it was made for, then I'm losing. So now when I'm praying. I'm coming. And I started praying. He switched me. So I started praying for y'all. And so now, because I'm praying for y'all, the Holy Spirit will pull more out of me for you. Now we both win because I don't have to fall flat on my face, right? And the purpose is fulfilled because it's about activating others. Say activating others. It's about activating others. It's about getting others going. It's about getting others to know Jesus better. So that's what Jesus was all about. Jesus' whole functioning and everything he did was about activating another person. It wasn't about, I heard Jesus, and we're going to read in a minute, but Jesus made this statement. He said, I'm not even going to come proclaiming myself. He said, I'm not even coming here to announce myself. He said, if I start announcing myself, I'm losing. If I try to come in and start talking about me, even though he knew who he was, if I come start talking about me, I begin to lose because I know it's not about me. The moment that I start thinking it's about me is the moment that I lose my whole power for everything he's given me to do. Y'all see that? Ephesians chapter 5, and it starts off verse 22. And he's giving some instructions to the husbands and the wives. But I want you to catch a few things on the inside of there when he's talking about the church. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. And most of the time we get to these scriptures and we jump on that and we don't see the revelation of what God is really showing us about the church. So we get caught up. When we read this word, we've got to, remember we did Living by the Book last year? You remember that class? We've got to go into this word and find out what he's saying. You got to catch them jewels out of there. Not that this ain't a jewel, why somebody, that's a jewel too. But sometimes you'll miss out stuff by getting so far-sighted in one way. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Y'all read this next line. So as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands, everything. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, as the church is subject, let's go up to the line, Christ is the head of the church. That's right. We want to know what the church is about, right? We want to know what Church Unusual really is, right? We want to know what the church really means, right? Well, Christ is the head of the church. It doesn't mean that he's our figurehead. It doesn't mean that he's the thing that, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We say Jesus, 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 and don't really know who he is. We say Jesus, 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 but we really don't act like him, right? Right? Not the figurehead. He's the head of the church. Even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be unto their own husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. You see that? And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water, that he might present it to himself a glorious what? Church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy without blemish. So now it says, for Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We get a lot of theory about what church is from a lot of different places, don't we? Don't we? Tell the truth. We get a lot of understanding about what church is really about from a lot of different places. And we think that we take it on that Jesus and Jesus' stories and then the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection were what we preach. But in actuality, it is what we're based on. Not just what our message that we preach is based on, but it's what the church is built upon on this revelation. The church won't exist unless it operates like Jesus. Not operate about Jesus. Hold on, y'all hear me? We get to the point where we're operating about Jesus. You know, it's all about Jesus. No, it should be just like Jesus. It's tricky. Are y'all catching me? It's very tricky. You can get cumbered about much serving. You know them two sisters? You remember two sisters? You're cumbered about much serving, and you're trying to serve Jesus. And you're trying to pass out Jesus to everybody, and you can come about much serving, and you don't sit at his feet to understand who he is. You don't choose that good thing. I ain't got time to go read it. Y'all know the story. One was working. She said, why did she come and help me? She chose that good thing. And it can't be taken away from her. Y'all see that? But we get, I'm going to say it again. We get caught up with doing, we're doing about Jesus. And not doing Jesus. Huh? Not being Jesus. Not letting him be through us. Y'all get that? We get caught up with it. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the church. On this revelation, on this rock will I build my church. It is on me. The word became, even the word of God that we try to build the church on is him. It's Jesus. The word, I got another scripture we're going to go to. It says, in John it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means whatever we're built on is him. So let's consider how we're doing church. What we consider church. Let's consider how we're doing church. Consider how we're being church. Does it look like him? Think about it for a moment. Or do we do things because we're told we're supposed to do them? are we doing? Because the 1-2-step program said, you know, they got churches right now telling you how to build a successful church, you know, and how you can go into the community and then you can start a Bible study here, and then you can do this, and it's almost cookie cutter church. It's like franchises. I call it franchise church. A franchise church. Build one over here, they can build one over here. Same way, right? Right. It's nothing unique to the area. It's nothing unique to the will of God. It's nothing unique to what God. It is a cookie cutter makeup for how you're supposed to build a church. Step one. Step two. God don't operate like that. The Bible says he threw the foolish thing in the world to confound the wise. Do y'all realize that Jesus, how many different types of miracles he did? Tell me when Jesus did it the same way. One blind man, he laid hands on him. He didn't see at first, you know, and then he laid hands on him again. He saw things clear. Remember that one? Other blind man, he spit in the dirt, put in his eye. Y'all remember that? One man said, rise and walk. Right, 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 right. One woman got healed, touching his garment. Right, right. He always had a different way. And he said it, and I'm going to read it in a minute. I only do what my father tells me to do. That's how church operates. That's how we as a church. This is church unusual. This is why the church has become usual, because we've been using usual instructions. We've been using usual formulas. We've been using the usual thing. And you know, the usual thing can be safe sometimes. You know that, right? I know how to church with the best of them. I know how to get everybody riled up in the room. I get us all riled up. We get the clapping and rocking. I start saying some certain things and start kind of growling a little bit, and then maybe I might sing a little bit, Lord, and start singing a little bit and start dealing with your emotion, and we can church it on out. And God won't even be in it. I see it every Sunday. Just watching people on TV, watching different churches do that. And God bless the brother, and I hope they catch on. But I see them do it all the time. They doing this, doing this, doing this, and they all caught up. I think they're doing something. But why is there not a change? Why don't we see anything different? Why nothing move? Why I'm looking at Jesus, and when I read in the Bible, that's the only time I'm seeing stuff like that? Because we're trying to use a formula. Because we're trying to do usual church. Because we're still in our comfort zone. Nobody wants to release themselves enough. Let me, crucified. Here's what happens when you're crucified. When you're crucified, y'all ready? When you become crucified with Christ, what that means is you become crucified so that he can occupy. Are y'all with me? You become, in other words, your ways die so that his ways can become alive in you. This is the process. This is the process. Now, it is actually easier than you understand, but because we can't get across this, get across our minds, we're still trying to hold on to them old ways that we've been holding on to because they've been comfortable, and we don't want to step out on the water. If that's you, Lord, let me come out there. Step out on the water, but then he started looking around at everything else. And he went back to his old thinking. You see that? You die so that he can occupy. If you don't die, you know, the Bible says when you die, when you literally die, the physical body, when you die, you give up the ghost. Right? Right? That's what they say, right? So if you still occupying you, if it's still you, now I realize you're dealing with your mind a lot with this, but if you still occupying the situation, there ain't no room for nothing else. Ain't no room for him to come in and be. It won't be let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Because that mind can't be in you if you already got that mind full. Huh? That mind can't get, all right, glass, I wish I had a glass of water. Huh? Your coat right now. I can't get in your coat. Your jacket. Why? Because your coat already full. I can't get in there. I can try to, but I can't get in there. I might get my hand in the sleeve right there, and we get a little power going right there, but I can't really get in that coat because he already in it. Y'all get that? So when I die, I vacate the premises so that he can live in here. That his mind becomes my mind. And then you know how he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts? That begins to change then. Because now when I pray in the Holy Ghost, the mysteries, I get access to all that stuff. You see that? I get access to all those things. But I got to die so that he can occupy. Once he occupies, then I become the church. then I begin to function like the church. All right? The church will be usual if it's not like Jesus. I thank God, you know, I read the book of Acts and I appreciate it. And I thank God for reading it. Now, I'm excited about the book of Acts and I thank God for all that. But I got to double back to the Gospels to really see what the church is really about. Because they're based off of what he did. Huh? The church is the base. The church is based off of who he is. If we're not being like him, then we're not really the church. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. He is the leader of the church. There's a statement that says, as the head goes, so does the body go. As the leader goes, so does the followers go. So as the head goes, if he is the head of the church, he is. Everybody say he is the head of the church. Is it true or is it not true? So now when we're talking about church, we need to be looking at how the head is. Now, I'm prone to believe we don't know Jesus well enough. I'm prone to believe we read the story, but we don't really get the revelation of who he is. We read the story, we get excited about the miracles. We read the stories, we get excited about hope, about his stories. You know, we know the confession about the Lord Jesus, believe your heart, God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. We know those things. But do you really know him? Come on for a minute. Do you really, how often do you study Jesus? You know, we got a lot of principles in church. We got a lot of principles. We got a lot of principles. Oh, God. We got a lot of notes, don't we? How often do you study Jesus? I just sit there and just Jesus. So I'm going to get to this chapter about Jesus. When Jesus is talking in the red, it's the most important part of the Bible right there. We can say we want about everything else. The most important part of the Bible is when Jesus was there and when he was talking. When he's talking in red, how many times have we, I sat there one day and I re-fell in love with Jesus. I was in love, but it renewed my love for Jesus. And I started seeing him in a whole other way because I took a little time to pay attention to him. I wasn't just reading through him so I could say that I read. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't just reading about what they told me about Jesus or what somebody else said. I had to get to know him for myself. Do you really know him? Now, we say that in church a lot, and then, you know, they think about you're born again. You say, no, do you really know him? Because if you don't have a good grip of who Jesus is and what his mindset was and what he thought when he approached things, then you can't do church. You're wasting your time. You really can't beat the church because he's the head. The way that he functions is the way that it goes. Go flip over to chapter 4, Ephesians 4. We just read it a minute ago. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of what? According to the measure of the gift of what? So everyone has given us grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Like the gift of Christ. Like we were given a gift of Jesus. What does that mean? It's not a ticket to heaven. If it was just about going to heaven, then when you finish praying a prayer, you're getting caught up. If it was just about going to heaven, yes, I know. I can't wait till that day. You know, we say those songs. And all on that day, when I get to see my king. And all, you need to be seeing your king right now. Why you ain't seeing him right now? He ain't hiding from you. Why you ain't seeing him right now? You see me? So if it's, I realize this. If it was just about going to heaven, then we'd have been raptured the moment we went to that altar call room and prayed that prayer. Or wherever it was. You remember your day when you prayed that prayer? Wherever it was you prayed that prayer, I'd have been a little boy. I wouldn't even live to be 32 right now. I'd have been a little boy and he'd have caught me up, because if that was just what it was all about, going to heaven, then that's what would have happened. God not crazy. I'm going to leave you here. No, God not crazy. God got a purpose further than that. Are y'all understanding me? Here's another thing. Y'all ready? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Where is that? Come on, my girl. Come on, we're about to find this scripture. So we're going to look at this in a minute. Uh, Let's do a little study here. Uh-huh, 310. Uh-huh, let's go. Go over there. Flip it 310. Y'all see it? Are y'all there? Flip it 310. Read it. Who is him we talking about? Huh? Y'all say it like y'all ain't sure. Who is him we talking about? All right, read the verse again. Verse 10, ready to read. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Listen to what you're saying. Now, we know these scriptures, don't we? And we read them and we become excited, right? And we quote it and everybody say, amen, amen, amen. But you got to know this scripture. And you got to get revelation out of this scripture. That I may know him. Everybody say, know him. I not know about him, that I may know him. It's one thing to know about me, but it's another thing to know me. When you say, right now, and in my class, my best friend right here, Roger's my best friend. Now watch this. We grew up together. He knows me. So now when we talking about something or something going on, he already know what my mindset going pretty much. Because we spent time. Because we done talked. Because we done hung out. Because we done talked about the word together. So he knows me. I know him. And I don't know about him. I know him. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus, right? We sing these songs. Is he really your friend? You got to know him. Everybody say, know him. Now watch this. That I may know him. Boy, y'all going to read these gospels. We're going to read these gospels for this class. So we're going to read all four of these gospels. And y'all going to read through them. And y'all going to understand who he is. We ain't going to read them all in a day. Don't get all nervous right now. We're going to read through these things throughout this semester. Because you got to know him. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Praise the Lord for that, right? Huh? Praise the Lord for that. We're excited about the resurrection, right? What about the fellowship of his suffering? Because that's part of knowing him too. In the power, thank you, we got up on the third day, Easter morning, right? We like Easter service, right? We love it, huh? We celebrate the resurrection of the king, right? Right? Thank God for the resurrection. It is all part of the plan. If there was no resurrection, we couldn't resurrect. Amen? Amen? But what about the fellowship of his suffering? What about knowing him now? Lord gave me a good revelation about relationship with people. Because you want the good part, but you don't want to know the fellowship of the suffering. Now, that's another talk. It's another conversation. I ain't going to go over there. Power is the resurrection, but the fellowship of the suffering. Nah. The fellowship of the suffering goes before Good Friday. Uh-oh. We as a church, this is what we do. You ready? I'm about to break down. You ready? We get all excited about Good Friday to Easter Sunday. The day he died. 3 days, then he rose again. He got beat. He got whooped, beat. Praise the Lord for that. Thank God for that. There's power in him getting jugged in the side. I thank God when I talk about that, I get to tearing up, so I don't want to talk about it too long. There's power in him getting whooped and the crown of thorns in the head. There's power in that. But his suffering started when he came at the beginning and had to come and take upon this weak body. This frail, weak, tempted, tired, hungry body. He had to give up his deity to come down here and take on this flesh. Heard a song the other day, Humble. He said, you were humble enough to take up on this feeble flesh. You were humble enough to do that for us. So really, to know him, you got to know him in his 34 years. 34, 36, you know, the theologians say different things. You got to know him from beginning to end. You just can't get excited about the resurrection because you don't understand what it took to get to the resurrection. You don't understand what it happened day one. You don't understand what it took to get the resurrection if you don't understand the times he had to feed them thousands of people over and over again. And all that time, he had to hear from the Father. You don't understand what the resurrection is about until you've been in the garden praying and you're sweating blood. You don't understand what it's about until your own people didn't want to receive from you. You don't understand the resurrection. So you really don't know him because you power's resurrection, but you don't know the fellowship of his suffering. So you're not made conformable unto his death. Everything before then led up to the culmination of what happened, but it needed it all. If it was just about him getting up, if it was just about him dying, listen to me, just like we're talking about, if it was just about you saying the prayer and then getting to heaven, if it was just about heaven, if you say the prayer, you go. All right, if it was just about him dying and getting up, then God would have sent him as a 34-year-old man on Good Friday. If it was just about the dying, come on, y'all, come on. If it was just about that weekend, if it was a weekend, if it was just about that time, then God would have sent him here, a grown man, beard and all, whatever he looked like, fully grown, let him die, beat, die, get up, then that'd have been it. No. But you're talking about 30-something years. 30-something years of the power of his resurrection. 30-something years of knowing him. Now, if we don't, we get top heavy in our studies about Jesus. We get real top heavy. You know what I'm saying? Y'all understand what I'm saying, top heavy? We get real caught up on 5 minutes. Like, we get real caught up over there on the resurrection. All of it is a part of it. All of it is a plan. All of it is a part of the plan. If you don't know all of it, you don't know none of it. If you don't know all of it, you really can't take the benefits. You really don't know it. Come on. How long have we know each other, Rod? About 20, 25, 30 years, almost. Yeah, almost 25, 30 years. That's why we know each other so well. That's why we know, because it's been them years. But if you don't know him in his 30, his 34, 35 years, whatever it was, then you don't really know him. You just know about him. And so now you don't really know nothing about the church because he's the head of the church. Come on, y'all. How much study time you spend on Jesus? Come on, reading Proverbs. I appreciate reading Proverbs a day. What's today's day? The 15th. So I appreciate reading Proverbs chapter 15 today, you know, for your devotion. Praise the Lord for that. What you read in them Gospels? Come on. I appreciate you reading. I read Acts today. Thank the Lord. I love what Paul and all them was doing. Thank God. Paul ain't died for me, though. The Bible don't say that I may know Paul. In the power, because he ain't got no power in no resurrection. Praise the Lord for Paul. Not taking nothing from Paul. Y'all understand me? But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. That's not just talking about going to heaven. Nobody's going to have relationship with the Father but by him. Nobody's going to be able to bring anybody else to the Father but by Jesus. Jesus, we're going to talk about this. I don't even know if I'm finished this class. Jesus is the head of the church. If you don't know him, you don't know church. If you don't know him, you really can't be church. You are the church. You the church. How many of y'all accept Jesus Christ in your heart? How you got him in your heart, but you don't know him? It's a sad thing, huh? He's living in there, but it's almost like living in the same house as somebody, but you'll never talk to him. Woo! I don't know if y'all ever had that experience where you live in the house with somebody, but y'all don't talk. If you had somebody there and they just walk on by you, and you almost slap them outside their head, I bet Jesus would be like, Jesus would wake up and, ugh, why you ain't talk to me? Why you ain't come ask me how to do that? Why you didn't come? He made a statement, I ain't got time to go there because. Got a few more minutes? Okay. He said, only do my Father tells me to do. He said, and you should do likewise. He said, you follow my instruction. You follow like me. The works that I do, so you do also. Huh? You thought that was going to start a ministry. No. The works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these that go to my Father. That means the more of us going to be doing that same work. That means the more of us can be listening to the Father, and whatever I hear him say, that I do. It was almost like Jesus didn't have a 5-year plan. He didn't have, I don't even know if Jesus probably might not have known when it was time for him to go. I'm just going step by step. And when God made that call, it was time to roll. Do y'all get what I'm saying? As I hear, I judge. Now what we do, we judge and then we try to hear. Oh, forget hearing, we just judge. Ain't that one of the biggest problems with the church? Huh? What the biggest thing the people outside the church say? I got a friend of mine, he's doing his company called All In, and his one of his biggest things is he's trying to revamp the view of what people think about the church, because people have such a faulty view about what the church is about. Because they say we're hypocritical, right? Y'all know the stuff they say, right? Yeah. They say we be lying, they say we be doing whatever, then they say one of the biggest things, they say we too judging. We judge people too much. Now it's not that judgment is not. It's not that judgment is a bad thing. You got what you call righteous judgment. Right? They say he who is spiritual, judges all things, but is judged of no man. That's scripture. All right? So I mean, if I'm in the spirit, and I'm following the Holy Spirit, and I'm listening as I hear, because that's hearing from the Spirit of God, as I hear, I judge. Now my judgment is righteous. Now it's righteous judgment. It doesn't cause dissension or hurt, or it's not led by hate, or it doesn't cause a problem, but it brings deliverance. Because as I hear, I judge. Every time Jesus judged, Jesus said, yeah, you right. You said you ain't got no husband. Because you got five of them right now, and the one you with ain't yours. Sound like he was judging her, huh? The woman said, Jesus was like, woman, if you knew what was going on, she said, give me, what is it that you got? She was appalled to him. When people in the church judge, people go run away. Why is that? Because it's not righteous. It's not righteous judgment. Are y'all with me? We're going to learn how to be the church through Jesus. But that I may know, look at that scripture. Y'all see that? Y'all flipping 3:10, you see that? You still right there, huh? That I may know him. You see it? And what it say? In the power of his resurrection, thank God. What else? Fellowship of his suffering. What else? Unto his death? Is it his? Yeah, not yours. That makes a difference. Being conformable unto his death. Dying like he did. Not dying like you want to. Dying to what you want to die to. No, you got to die to everything he died to. Y'all understanding that? So your study time. You've got to go in there. I couldn't get past page 1 of this book. And I still don't know if I'm going to get past it. Because Jesus is a deep well that can never be exhausted. We can talk about Jesus all day long. Huh? We can talk about Jesus every service for the rest of the world. We go to all these other, Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Come on, there's power in the name of Jesus. Not just calling Jesus, no. The name means his character. There's power in the character of Jesus. That's what the power is. In his character. When you're talking about his character, you're talking about being. That's what the church is. That's what the church is built upon. The church is not the building. It's not the five-step program. It's not all the... It's Jesus. He is. Why they call it the body of Christ? Why they call it the body of Christ? You know, we call it, in the overall, we're called the body of Christ. That means we are his body. And the Bible said that the word was made flesh. And dwelt them. We are his body. We are his body, fitly joined together. We are his body here. So it should be the same way. Do y'all get what I'm saying? That's church. That's church. If it ain't that, it's not church. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's church. You can read chapter 1. You can go ahead through chapter 1. And we'll do our best to get through that. Amen. I'll start reading them gospels. You will lose. You will always lose if you approach the Bible anytime like you know it already. It's very hard to do when you've been studying the Bible for years, right? It's a difficult thing to do, to approach some scriptures that we've been reading. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, right? It's very hard to approach that scripture. But remember we did in Living by the Book? And we approached it. We saw some different things in there. You got to approach that. So now, go read your favorite Bible story again about Jesus. Whichever one is your favorite, go read it again. But approach it differently. Look at him and see what was going on. See what he meant. Why did he do it that way? All right, look at him and see how he handled a prostitute. And then see how the church today would handle it. All right? Look and see how he handles things. You'll find out what we're supposed to be looking like. We'll see. But you got to look at him now. You're looking under Jesus. Huh? Hebrews 12:2, huh? Author and finisher of my faith. And it keeps on going on. You got to read that scripture that you got to look at. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he didn't sink. Church sinking because they're not looking at it.